I'm all about the good vibes, the good vibes. We bout to have a good time, a good time. Leave my problems all behind, all behind. We living out the good life, the good life, yeah. I ain't gotta worry about a thing.
Oh no.
Had some obstacles I overcame.
Oh yeah.
You don't have to ever be the same.
Oh lord.
Cause when we change the mind, we change the game.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Kenny Clutch, with another episode on the Clutch Vision Podcast. I got a very honorable, special guest in the building, Mr. I Wanna Rock Right Now. I'm Rob Bass, and I came to get down. It's in the building today. This is very, very rare. My man Rob don't really do interviews like that. So you know a brother got to be special to get him on. I've been trying to get this man on for the past like 6 months, trying to get him on. Big Rob Bass, what's going on, OG? How you doing?
I'm good, hanging in there. Can't complain. Just feeling blessed, not stressed. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up, man. How's the family doing during the quarantine, brother?
Everybody good, man. They hanging in there. You know, all this family time. I'm loving it.
That's what's up, man. This is crazy, right? This is unreal. We were just chopping it up just now. You know, and you was just sharing your thoughts on how you would never think you would see something like this in your lifetime, right?
Not in my lifetime. You know, this is like straight out of a sci-fi movie to me. You know, it's unbelievable that we are going through this at this time, you know, because I mean, we've seen a lot of stuff like this on movies before, but to go through this in real life is a whole different thing, man. It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
It's crazy, man. Like, you know, you go to the supermarket or you go in, like, the toilet paper gone. Like, everything is just wiped out. It looked like the whole apocalypse or something like that just came up in here.
Yeah, scary, man. It's scary, man. I mean, yeah. When I went in the supermarket the other day, you know, everybody spread out. And it's just like, it just feels weird. It feels real weird to just be out and then see how people looking at you looking at them. We try not to get too close. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. How you think it's going to come?
Easy right now.
How you think it's going to be when we come out of it, though?
Oh, man. I don't think it'll ever be the same. Not for a long time, man. You know? Yeah. It's going to be a lot of social distancing for a long time, you know?
Yeah, man. It's crazy, man. Because it put people on edge, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, what are you going to do? I'm just waiting to see some zombies outside. Then I'm going to be like, oh, man.
Right.
That's the next level right there.
Facts, man. Well, let's jump right into it, man. So the people want to know, you know what I'm saying? And I want to know personally, because this is going to be a good history lesson for me, because I love hip hop. You know, obviously, you know, I dance for you as well, too. You know what I mean? So I'm like super, super into hip hop, into music. Been to the club plenty of times, and every time I go to the club, your song plays every time. Your joint stay in rotation, you know. But I know Rob Bass at his height, but a lot of people want to know Rob Bass version number one. Like, how did you get started in the rap game, in the music industry, period?
Well, when I first started out, I used to watch this group from around my projects where I used to live at in New York. It was called Lincoln Projects. That's where I grew up at. And there was a group out called the Crash Crew at the time. And they was out, they was like one of the first old school groups out there. You know, they had, you know, they used to come out, bring their equipment outside in the park, throw their little jams out in the park. And I, as a little kid, I used to watch them all the time. And I was like, yo, these dudes are dope, man. You know, I just, you know, I was feeling it, the hip hop scene. And then came out this record called Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang.
Yes.
So once I heard that, I was like, oh man, this is something I want to do. You know, I was like, oh, this is it right here. And then right behind that comes Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five come out. And then I think right after that was the group from around my neighborhood. They come out with a record called High Power Rap. And I was like, oh. So that made me feel like, oh, I could do this too. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
They from they from where I'm from, you know? So that gave me the motivation. So I basically started, you know, carrying equipment, you know, just trying to hang around those type of guys, you know. And the next thing you know, I met up with Dougie Fresh and his crew.
Right.
Dougie Fresh and the Get Fresh crew, you know. Tried to hang around. I was hanging around with them a little bit, you know, and Dougie Fresh, DJ Chill Will, actually produced my first record I ever made. It's called DJ Interview.
Okay.
And a lot of people didn't know that. I had like two other records before It Takes Two.
Wow.
Came out, you know, so yeah. So that's how I really got in. I was just hanging around the people that did what I wanted to do. So I stayed in with them, you know?
Right, right. And I heard you and Biz, y'all used to hand out flyers back in the day on 125th.
Yeah, me and Biz used to hand out flyers for Mike and Dave. That was a promoter. They were big promoters in Harlem, and they used to do shows all over the Bronx, New York, Jersey, wherever. You know, they was big promoters for the hip hop game. Me and Biz, we used to give out flyers because we were trying to get on.
Right,
to do this. So we had to give out the flyers in exchange for, you know, giving out flyers and putting in the footwork. They would let us get on the mic, you know. They would let us get on the mic and rock. And then eventually we start getting on flyers, you know.
Dang, that's dope. That's dope. So let me ask you this question. Like, so who are some of your favorite MCs coming up? Like if you had like a top, let's say like a top 10, because I know it's a gang of cats that's nasty. But if you had to pick, you know, who was your favorite two, who were they?
My favorite two from what era? Like from when I wanted to start
when
I was in it?
Yeah, any era. Like, you know, when you wanted to start and then, you know, when you were in it and even now. If you had to pick a couple cats.
When I first started, I was into Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, so I like Melly Mel from the Furious Five, and I also liked Kool Moe Dee from the Treacherous Three. Those two cats was like, they was the illest on the mic at the time, you know. Nobody can mess with them cats, you know.
Right.
And my era coming up, though, when I was coming out, though, you know, I always got the utmost respect for Dougie Fresh because he taught me a lot, you know what I'm saying. And also, you know, I like cats like Rakim. Rakim was doing his thing, you know. So,
yeah,
those are Kane, Big Daddy Kane.
Of course,
you know, those were the guys that I had to look up to. You know,
right? That's dope, man. Yeah, man. Because some of my like, I got put on, Big Daddy Kane and Rakim. One of my OGs, my man, Bless, who's from New York, and he used to put me on him. You know, Kool Moe Dee, Cool G Rap. Like, he really put me on G Rap. Like, when G Rap was spitting, I was just like, oh, snap. Like, you know, yeah. the way that he was rhyming back then, it just seemed like it was, like, unheard of. Like, the way that he was flowing. And I was just so into his lyrics or whatever. I'm like, dang, yo, like, his flow, everything, like, delivery, everything was, like, super, super tough, man.
Yeah, G-Rap was a beast. He was a beast in the game. You know, he was definitely a beast.
Yeah, true, true. So let me ask you this question. So the most popular record, you know, that everybody knows is It Takes Two. You know what I'm saying? But of course, you had four other, you know, top 10 records. You know what I'm saying? That hit the charts, and you know, you had Joy and Pain as well too, which is a lot everybody's favorite. Any Cookout? That joint is playing straight up and down. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But tell us, how did the legendary song It Takes Two come about?
Well, when we came up with that, man, the record was basically kind of there because we had to go in the studio that night and me and Easy Rock ain't have nothing done. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Mm-hmm. So we went to one of our homeboys' house and we listening to break beats because he had like mad break beats, crates of records. So we just listening to some, and then he played the Lynn Collins sample for us. And I was like, yo, that joint is hot right there.
Yeah.
And then Easy Rock liked another sample from another record. And we was like, yo, that's hot too. Mm-hmm. All right, man, we just gonna see what we can do with both. We ain't know that we's gonna wind up blending them two together to make It Takes Two, you know.
Right.
We was just thinking, oh, we gonna pick one or the other, but we wind up, we was able to blend both records to come up with It Takes Two. It was crazy.
That's crazy. So wait, so how did y'all come up with the, because the machinery was different back then, like technology, you know, today and back then was completely different. So what did y'all have to go through in order to get that record and get the sample off the record and all of that? How was that?
Well, back then we was sampling with, I think we was using the SP-1200 at that time. It was just a sampler. I'm not even sure it was that, but, you know, we used the sampler. And then we had the engineer build the undertrack. So he built the undertrack and flew the sample in there. Then we added bass on top of the bass that was already there, added hi-hats. And, we added around it to make it come whole. You know what I'm saying? Because it was just amazing how that record came together, man. Because when we was in the studio and I went home and I was listening to it on a cassette tape. Back then it was a cassette tape. And I'm listening to it. I'm like, yo, this joint right here is dope. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm saying, I'm like, yo, man, I got to come up with some rhymes for this joint now.
Right.
So I went home. So I went home. I had some rhymes that was pretty much already written, and it fit perfect. So I was like, damn, this thing is fitting perfect right here. So we went back to the studio, dropped the rhymes, and that was it. History. Dang.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy, yo. Cause that record, yo, I think I probably put it in maybe like four or five different recital dances in my lifetime. You know what I'm saying? Like just giving my kids that work, man. And it's just like, it's an amazing song. And every time the funny story is, I'll sit there and be like, I'm like, yeah, you guys know, y'all know Rob Bass. Y'all know Rob Bass. And my kids, this generation, they'd be like, who? I'm like, y'all know Rob Bass, right? I'd be like, and then I spit the lyric, yo, I want to rock right now. Oh, and then I'm like, I'm like, yeah, that's who y'all dancing to. That's who your teacher dances for as well, too, man. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing how, like, your music is just so, it's just so timeless. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's made for every generation. And it's still getting buzz off of it today, and you still working off of that, off of these records. That, like, how important is longevity, you know, to you and to young artists today? If you can give them any inspiration at all, you know, how important is having that longevity and having something that sticks?
Well, it's definitely really important, you know, because a lot of rappers from my era, you don't even hear their songs anymore. They was hot at the time, but you don't hear these songs, you don't hear about them anymore, nothing like that. But I mean, to the younger cats that's coming out, you know, it's very important, I think, to have your own type of sound, you know, have your own sound and be, I think it's important to be original, because if you don't be original, when as the time go on, you're going to sound like everybody else from that era, and then people going to forget about you and go to the next dude, you know. Right. So you got to have your own style, have your own, you know, swag or whatever you want to call it today, and do you. You know what I'm saying? Don't come out here trying to be whoever's hot right now, because later that dude that's known for that is going to be the one that's hot. You might have a high record, but you ain't going to stick around for the long term, you know?
Right. Facts. Now, let me ask you this, though, because a lot of MCs today, you know, they don't really have the DJ. I mean, they got a DJ on stage with them, but back then, you know, it was you and Easy Rock. So how important was the DJ, you know, and the MC collectively together back then? And to me, that's like the essence of hip hop, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, if you could talk a little bit about how important the DJ was to the game.
Well, back in my era, the DJ was like kind of the main part was the DJ back in the day. You know what I'm saying? When you're going out to these parties to perform, the DJ got to be on point, or else your show is going to look horrible. You know, so that's why, like, back in the days, you had, like, the Flash and the Furious Five, because then also you also had, like, Afrika Bambaataa and the Soul Sonic Force, because the DJ was the focus point. But then my era coming in, it started to even out a little bit. So you still had, you know, you had Eric B, Rakim, Rob Base, Easy Rock. You had, you know, groups like that. But the MC was starting to be the vocal point then. You know, everybody was focusing on the MC more at that time. But, you know, but the DJ was definitely important. The DJ is hip-hop, you know?
Right. Facts. Facts, man. Dang. Rob Base over here dropping bombs, y'all. Make sure y'all like, subscribe, comment below. Share this with your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your auntie. You know what I'm saying? Your great-grandma. You know what I'm saying? Like, your stepmom, your stepdad, your step-uncle. I don't care who it is. Your co-worker. Somebody needs to hear this right now. Y'all know this. Y'all know his music. Y'all know these records. You know what I mean? Stop playing with me. It's your boy, Kenny Clutch. Make sure you go ahead and click that bell if you're watching this on YouTube right now. Now, Rob, I want to ask you this, man. The video, you know, It Takes Two, or just videos in general back in the day, a lot of people had, like, the whole neighborhood, you know what I'm saying, in the video. In your video, It Takes Two, you had, like, look like you had the whole, your whole hood in that joint. So tell me how the video came about.
Well, that was, like, well, at the time, the record was popping,
right?
Especially in the streets, but it was popping. But the record company didn't want to give us a video.
Okay.
So we took our own money and was like, all right, man, we got to shoot a video for this thing, man. So we put our money together and we got the guy to get a camera. The guy had a camera and we went down to 125th Street in Harlem and just start shooting.
Right.
Just like that. Just start shooting. No idea what we doing. And it just came out the way it came out. It was crazy. You know, people joined in. They dancing in the street with us. And we see Bismarcky across the street. He come over and get the video. DJ Red Alert. He walking down the street. Come across, getting the video. It was like none of it was scripted. It just happened the way
just
it happened. Was, you know?
It's straight just raw. Happened. Dang.
Straight raw.
Because y'all had no Instagram back then.
Nah, we ain't had no Instagram. So nobody didn't know what we were shooting the video. It was just they was just out there, you know, Harlem 125th Street. People was right. Always out there, you know. So
right,
it just happened.
It just happened and came out. You know what I'm saying? And I saw you busting a couple dance moves up in that joint.
Yeah. I used to do a little dancing back in the day, a little bit.
That's what's up, man. So I want to jump into something else real quick, man. Like, you know, we you know the obviously we're in a we're quarantined, we're in a pandemic and everything. And a lot of people are truly, you know, they're in fear. They're scared. They don't know what they're going to do. A lot of people losing their jobs, losing work. The economy is taking a major hit. You know what I'm saying? But, for you know, you've lived through a few different generations, a few different recessions, you know what I'm saying, as well, too. In your experience, you've maintained so much success. What has been the keys to success in your career, and for those that are listening, how can they apply that same mentality?
Well, I mean, life is about ups and downs. I don't care how you know how you want to spin it. There's good times, there's bad times, but you know, hopefully, most of the time, the good outweigh the bad. So you just got to stick in there and just look for better things, you know, that's coming, because they are coming. Right. These are hard times right now, but we're going to get through it. Yeah. And then we're going to be sitting here talking later about, oh, man, remember when the pandemic was here? You know, we're going to get through it. You know, don't worry yourself to death and go crazy, you know.
Right.
You just got to, you know, sit it out and we're going to get through it.
Yeah.
Pray. And that's all I can say. Pray.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, man. I tell people all the time, you got to make sure you got a strong prayer life, baby, because, you know, if you ain't got that right now, that's your foundation, especially right now. But then, it was you know what's crazy, though, is that, like, we get to a point where, okay, something bad happened all the time, right? And then we start praying, right? And then as soon as that joint over and everything and it's clear, right, then we go back to, you know, we go back to what we used to do.
What we used to do, yeah. I mean, that always happens, you know. But, I mean, it was just like, you know, I look at it like when 9/11 happened. You know, when 9/11 happened, everybody was scared. And, I mean, you had a right to be scared because you didn't know what the heck was going on. But, you know,
facts.
Yeah, we got through that. You know, we'll be all right. I know we're going to be all right.
Big facts. Yeah, definitely, man. Like I tell people all the time, man, you know, it's all about, you know, when you change the mind, you change the game. It's all with your mentality. You know what I'm saying? You got to make sure that you stay positive at all times. You can't sit here and panic. Like, just don't panic. You know what I mean? Like, just know that we're gonna push through this and we're going to get to that next level. I mean, right now, they should just throw on your records. You know what I'm saying? They get through it real quick.
Yeah.
So I want to.
It's all about staying positive.
Yeah. All about staying positive. Now, and speaking of positivity, you know, like back then, I felt like a lot of music back then was there was a lot of positivity that was going on. Like, I mean, it was kind of like a balance of, you know, you had your good, you had your bad, you had your party music. You know what I'm saying? But like, what was your drive, your motive? Because you always put out positive records.
Well, I mean, I just wanted people to dance and have a good time, man. That was pretty much, you know, what I was around, like going to block parties and seeing, you know, artists perform and things like that. And I always wanted to be that party MC to make people feel good, you know, because back in my era, there were so many different styles. And I didn't want to really be exactly like somebody else. I wanted my own type of thing. So that's when I started mixing R&B with the hip hop.
Right.
You know? So most of my songs, you had a little R&B singing in it, and then the rap come in, stuff like that. You know, other rappers were doing something different at the time, you know? So I just tried to be different, you know?
Yeah, man. It's important to be different, everybody. To the youngins out there, it's important to be different. Don't go overboard, but be different.
You know? Yeah. You said don't go overboard, right?
Yeah, some cats be going overboard with it. They be tripping. You know what I'm saying? But it's all good, to each his own. But just know who you're influencing at the end of the day. And that, I think, like, we got to be more aware of that. Like, people put out music and they trying to, you know, catch a hit, and they do it, you know, and not just music, just in general, people in general. We just got to be more aware of who we influencing and what we doing, you know? And that's why I appreciate your music so much, because it just makes it's feel good music. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no harm in it. Ain't no negativity going on. You just making people feel good at the end of the day.
Yeah. That was the focus. You know, that was the focus. I ain't want to be out there, you know, saying nothing that I wouldn't do or nothing. You know what I mean? So I just try to keep it positive at all times, you know, and then, it was a lot of kids that, you know, I see a lot of kids at the parties too. So that, I always look at that too. You don't want to be saying crazy stuff to these kids, listening to that, and then they grow up trying to do that. You know, right. They don't know that if they go out there and try to live that record, the outcome might not be good, you know?
Facts.
So, you know, that's why I always try to keep it positive.
Facts, man. And let me ask you this real quick, you know, like, again, like, during this pandemic right now, I asked everybody on the show the same question, right? If you had the whole world's attention right now during this quarantine, what encouraging words, you know, would you say to them to keep them uplifted?
Well, I would just tell them, man, stay positive. We're going to get through it. You know, we went through 9/11. This is something even worse, but we're going to get through this too. You know, we're going to get through this too. So just stay positive and hug your loved ones, you know, keep them close to you, and be safe out there. Be safe. Don't be out here partying, because, you know, people still trying to go out and go to their boy or girl house and hang out. And nah, don't do that right now. Stay with your family. Chill out. Be safe.
Facts, yo. Y'all heard the bass. You know what I'm saying? Listen, man, I appreciate you coming on, but before we shut it down real quick, I gotta play this game with you. You down?
All right, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. We're gonna play this game called In the Clutch. So, In the Clutch stands for Inspirational Dancers Creatively Linking Upon the Culture of Hip Hop. So, yeah. I get everybody with that. You know what I'm saying? INDACLUTCH. Inspirational Dances Creatively Linking Upon the Culture of Hip Hop. So it's a company that I started back in 2009 called In the Clutch, which then changed into the Clutch Collective. So, and now, you know, me being Kenny Clutch, you know, we're going to play this game called In the Clutch. So here we go. I'm going to give you a letter and you give me a positive word. First thing that comes to your mind, any letter that I give you. Cool?
Nah, man.
Nah.
Let's try it. Let's try it.
All right, here we go. Ready? Here we go. C.
Something positive. Cool. I don't know.
Okay. Cool. That's cool. All right. L.
Love.
All right. U.
Unity.
Here we go. T.
T. That's a good one. Trust.
Okay.
That's what came in my mind.
Trust. Here you go. That's all good. C. C again.
I don't know. I'm stuck with that C. I don't know why.
It's all good.
I'm stuck.
We're going. I'm gonna put one in there for you. Courageous.
All right. That's a perfect one. Give me that. I take that one.
All right. Here we go. Here we go. H.
Hopeful.
Hopeful. That's clutch. Ladies and gentlemen, I got the legendary Rob Bass on the Clutch Vision podcast. Brother, we appreciate you coming out, man. Where can everybody find you at? You know what I'm saying? Shout out your Instagram, your Twitter, wherever they can find you at.
Well, you can hit me at Rob Bass Music on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's Rob Bass Music. So hit me up, y'all.
There it is. And it ain't no fakes out there. You know what I'm saying? That's the real one. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got the check mark next to it. That's how you know it's the real one. My man, Rob Bass. Listen, he performs everywhere, guys. Everywhere this man is performing, every single weekend, private events, you know what I mean? Basketball events, NBA, NFL, wherever it's at, hockey, it don't matter where it's at. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Rob Bass is there, and you probably going to catch me behind him or whatever a couple times, you know what I'm saying? Rocking with him, mm-hmm. Crew, you know what I mean? So once again, make sure you guys like, subscribe, comment below. You know what I mean? Share this with everybody that you can. Donate to the podcast to help us out. You know what I mean? Go ahead and subscribe to us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, on YouTube. Go ahead and click that bell. Give me a thumbs up so I can go up to the recommended. It's your boy, Kenny Clutch. When we change the mind, we change the game. Remember, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow we'll worry about itself. And today is all we have. So go out and impact today with love, y'all. It's your boy, Kenny Clutch. My man, Rob Bass. We out of here. Peace.
Peace.